This week, Common Ground spotlights Russia. It may seem hard to believe America's Cold War foe could be a solution to U.S. energy needs. The potential for Russia to serve as an optional source of crude oil has ramifications far beyond the basic economic realities of reliable supplies of cheap petroleum. But as Priscilla Huff first reported in April, Russian oil must come through both pipelines and politics.
Stripper wells on the Siberian steppes suck oil to the surface. The supply is significant, but getting the petroleum to market is not. It's a problem of geography, or is it? Red Cavaney, the president of the American Petroleum Institute, says Russia's problem is distance.
They are very interested in serving our market. The difficulty they have at the present moment is they're essentially landlocked with much of what they've got, so they need to develop pipelines and other sources.
And that's why Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the CEO of Yukos, one of Russia's largest oil companies, wants to convince Americans Russia has the potential to be a cheap and reliable source of oil.
You see that the biggest chunk of our total cost is the transportation component. And that's even in the case that, we transport the oil through a pipeline. Unfortunately, we don't always do so today. So in order for us to deal with the problem of the pipeline system, we need to build at least two new pipelines, one to China and one to Murmansk.
Khodorkovsky has a vested interest. His company, Yukos, has proven reserves of about 12 billion barrels of crude oil, about 20% of Russia's total audited reserves of 55 billion, though some estimates double and even triple that amount. Robert Ebel of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says that's why Russia is part of tomorrow's energy forecast.
The future is defined by reserves in the ground. And where are these reserves? Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, and I would add Russia.
In comparison, 261 billion barrels of petroleum lie beneath the sands of Saudi Arabia, while neighboring Iran and Iraq average about half that. It's this proximity of key Middle Eastern oil producers that prompts one member of the Senate Energy Committee to ask a complicated question. Republican Jim Bunning of Kentucky.
The United States is genuinely helping with pipelines and everything in Russia to bring their crude oil to port, thus, I hope, eliminating the problems that we have in the Middle East because of the instability in the Middle East. Do you all think that Russia can play a significant part in alleviating not our demand so much for importing, because that would still be importing, but the instability of the Middle East?
Robert Ebel of CSIS confirms the concern. Politics is a greater worry than pipelines.
Because oil has become a truly international commodity, the United States, as with other oil-consuming countries of the world, stands vulnerable to any event, anywhere, anytime that would affect energy supply and demand.
Khodorkovsky, the businessman, argues Russia has both a political role and economic.
Here, I think a Russia that enjoys respect in the Middle East will be a much more useful Russia for America than a Russia that has no respect in the Middle East. So as a result, Russia needs to understand what its economic advantages here are.
Just about a decade after Glasnost and Perestroika ended the Cold War, and just years after the Russian economy nearly imploded in a vacuum of no-rules-barred rampant capitalism, Russia's top oil companies, Lukoil, Yukos, Sibneft, and others, they're now eager to expand, especially into the lucrative American market. British Petroleum finds Russian oil attractive enough to invest $6.75 billion to form the nation's third-largest energy firm. Lord John Brown of BP gave his stamp of approval to Russia's oil prospects.
This decision to significantly increase our commitment to Russia demonstrates in the very clearest way possible BP's growing confidence in the improving Russian business climate. It underlines our belief in Russia's economy and the business transformation that is underway here. It also recognizes Russia's growing engagement as a major player in the world's economic system.
The former Soviet Union could also be a major player in the global oil market in a second location, the Caspian Sea. 25 billion barrels of proven reserves lie beneath the former Soviet republics, like Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, and Georgia. As with the Siberian oil fields, the Caspian reserves are landlocked, hundreds of thousands of miles from deepwater ports for easy shipment on supertankers. However, the Siberian oil, like that of Yukos and Lukoil, is safely within the geographic confines of relatively stable Russia. To get the Caspian Sea oil to market, it has to be piped out across mountain ranges and through some of the least politically stable regions in the world. For example, Azerbaijan is mostly Muslim, with ethnic Azeris threatening battles with Iran over territory, while in neighboring Georgia, Islamic militants with ties to Al-Qaeda hide in the Pankisi Gorge, and volatile Chechnya is just a short distance away. Yukos chief Mikhail Khodorkovsky sees no business reason to expand in the Caspian region, instead favoring his Siberian investment. Khodorkovsky says Russia will remain a good place to buy oil because Russia's economy and its government's power are far less dependent on oil prices.
If the overall state budget of Russia relies maybe 20% on oil and gas revenues, the role of oil and gas in the GDP of Russia is even smaller. Well, for Saudi Arabia, these numbers are a lot higher. I expect that we'll see the same thing happening with Iraq once Iraq starts to rebuild its economy. Nevertheless, if Russia is not able to build its pipeline system, then naturally Russia is going to lose that chunk of potential production that would be shipped through those new pipelines.
New technology and proposed pipelines could make Russia the linchpin to future oil supplies. But oil analysts agree the real problem is consumption. Americans need to make the connection between the oil that's shipped from the Middle East, Russia, and even from Alaska's Arctic wilds to the lights they flip on, the thermostats they turn up, and the car ignitions Americans continue to turn over. For Common Ground, I'm Priscilla Huff.
Since this story was first reported, Mikhail Khodorkovsky's oil company, Yukos, has announced a merger with Sibneft, another huge Russian oil firm, making him the head of Russia's largest oil company and the world's fourth largest private energy firm. The merged company's reserves lie beneath the frozen Siberian tundra, which will likely continue to bolster Khodorkovsky's arguments. He's a better partner to provide the U.S. with crude oil, as the Middle East and Caspian Sea regions remain politically unstable.